Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This update is brought to you by Doral Hyundai, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or DoralHyundai.com. Starting with the Panthers, who fell to Lightning 3-2. The Cats will take on the Lightning again in another preseason matchup tomorrow in Tampa. Over to the Canes, who will continue practice today as they get set for their first road game of the season in Tallahassee on Saturday. Game kicks at 7:30 and can be heard here on WQAM with our countdown to kickoff beginning at 3. And in soccer, Inter-Miami lost to Chicago 5-3. Next up, Miami hosts New England on Saturday night. Joe, we're talking about rivalry games. That game on Saturday night should be a whole lot of fun.
It's nothing against game day, and they had to go ESPN. We lose the big show. Although EJ Manuel and the guys will be up there. But that's going to be a hell of a game. You're obviously going to get the best of Florida State. I am really curious to see on the line of scrimmage on both sides more than ever. I keep hearing about Florida State, who's really run up their numbers to start this year. Are they number one offense in the country? They might be like the number one offense in the whole country. What Florida State?
Well, that last game, I mean.
Well, no, but they scored. Helped, but yeah. They did a nice job against Alabama, who looks like now all of a sudden.
Look, I think defensively they have some weaknesses, right? And I think Miami's offensive line will be able to eat in that game, right? Like, they should be able to run the ball. I'm just judging off what I saw against Virginia there.
Well, that's where it starts, man. The Canes they're not going to try to surprise you, but they run the football. Yeah. He's going to run it. And by the way, it's not a real sophisticated running game. It's just kind of come off the ball with two 220-plus-pound running backs. And
I do think Florida State's offense is good. Joe, their quarterback is talented. He's a threat to take off, right?
Tommy Castellanos.
Yep, he's a threat, and that receiver they have on the outside is tough. But
he's a good-looking, by the way, 6'6", man. And I don't know how fast he is, but, boy, he gets separation. He's off to a great start.
That was just a weird game, that Friday night game. A lot of weird things happened in that game.
That was a great game.
That was fantastic. But there were a lot of strange things that happened.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you're watching as a Canes fan or you're just a college football fan, I mean, it didn't matter really who won or lost, unless, you know, you're a Florida State fan, you want to win all your games. And it was Florida State's first ACC game. But Woody,
I was going to say, my Florida State friends were devastated after that game. Yeah. But yes, that was about as entertaining of a football game as you could hope for. But man, those guys were crushed.
We had the divided family because we had a little family function for one of the kids. And. Mm-hmm. And so we're all sitting there, and then everybody started going, I want them to win. You know, got tied at the end, and you're going, oh, Florida State's now got a chance to win this. And they're like, yeah, I want Florida State to never root for Florida State to win anything. And I'm like, super sexy, undefeated team.
I know. I think that's good, too. But, like, you want to see that, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the good teams in the ACC, or at least the teams that were supposed to be good, are racking up conference losses early on here, right?
Well, one is.
So, Clemson's loading up. Yeah, Clemson's loading up.
I see early here. Dabo Swinney came out and said, I'm doing a very good job coaching this group.
Hey, man, that thing's been rolling for a long time. Like, hey, it's okay to have
I want you to
there.
Help me figure this one out. So we watch Syracuse get pounded. We watch Clemson get pounded by Syracuse. Syracuse beat them. I mean, they beat them. That was no, you know, they just put it to them. And you're going, wow, Syracuse and Clemson, same looking talent on the field. It looked like that. And then Duke beats the crap out of Syracuse. Manny Diaz. What'd they score? What'd Syracuse score? 3 points?
No. Yeah, something like that.
Like they got pounded. And you're like,
Duke's
wow.
2-0 in the league.
ACC.
Virginia's 2-0 in the league. Georgia Tech 2-0.
Georgia Tech.
Your Bears are 1-0.
Georgia Tech, by the way, Georgia Tech and Louisville had big comebacks.
Georgia Tech's 5-0, by the way, on the season. Yeah. They haven't lost yet. Louisville is going to be tough, Joe. They're 4-0. Kane's got them. They're 1-0 in the conference.
Well, now we got all conference games coming up for the most part. So everybody's going to beat up.
Well, yeah,
on
they're all conference rest of the way here, but
we'll see what happens. Yeah, the Canes, it's kind of weird, right? You're getting damn near halfway through your schedule, and you're just now playing your first ACC game, and you just happen. I mean, Florida State might be.
Yeah, there's only two teams that haven't played a conference game. That would be us and the Fighting Belichicks.
Fighting Belichicks got a tough little run coming up.
You enjoy watching them lose.
I do.
Just between you and me. Okay.
I do.
Good. It's because you don't like the people over there, or is it just...
No. I've just watched this Belichick thing, and I didn't realize how salty he was because he tried to downplay that he didn't get fired. He got fired, and you can tell by the way he's acting.
Yeah.
But Robert Kraft let one of the winningest coaches, some say the greatest coach of all time, they let him go.
Haven't they tried to be classy about it, though? At least, you know, from what I've seen, like, they've tried to handle it in a classy way, and he just, like, is arrogant. And, like,
I know he's fired, you know, by the
defiant
way.
And all that. Like,
well, I know he's been fired by the way he's acting.
Yeah.
Right?
They've tried. Like, haven't they tried to make it, like, okay for him? And, you know, not try to
put a statue up of the guy. Yeah. They're going to, like, have a big celebration. he doesn't want him around. Like, tell your scouts to stay away. You're not welcome.
What an enormous mistake by North Carolina to give this guy the keys to
You got to get more time. But yeah,
think it's gonna work? I don't care how much time you give that guy.
No,
I just don't think players want to play for him. I told you that when this thing started. I don't think college kids want to play. First of all, I don't know how many of them know who Bill Belichick is.
Oh, they know it hadn't been that.
It's been a long time, man.
What do you mean?
How many 18-year-olds?
How many years has Belichick been? Wait a second.
Well, I'm sorry. 16-year-olds were recruiting, right? Now we're going after?
You think they haven't followed football for what? You think they start watching football when they're 15? I disagree with you.
But Belichick's been out of the league for a while, man.
He's been out a couple years.
He's been out for a little while here. I just, again, I don't
know
how many.
It's not 10 years,
Woody. I don't know how many 16-year-olds are like, man, this is great. I'm going to go play for this 80-year-old former angry NFL coach. I just don't know how many people kids are out there like that.
But. I think he felt like they were going to be able, he and Michael Lombardi thought they were going to be able to get guys because they wanted to get to the NFL, and he was trying to sell all of college football and high school football that your best way is to go with a really good staff of NFL guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what an NFL guy looks like, and he's going to sell you on that whole, I can get you where you want to get to. And I think they didn't realize, like, yeah, but we realize a lot of other schools are, if not doing what you're doing, are doing it better. And they're also paying as much or more money. I mean, them getting their ass kicked is not good for business. It's just.
No, probably not.
It's not.
But you're right, man. Any of these schools put you in the NFL now.
Yeah. You can go.
I don't think that's really all that much of a selling point anymore.
Hey, if you're a wide receiver right now, there's two schools that are spitting them out two at a time.
Ohio State
and LSU are spitting at a rapid pace of, like, where'd he go? Oh, boy. Oh, man, that guy too, man. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that guy.
You know, it's funny, when this Carson Beck thing is all said and done, Miami might be like a little quarterback factory because his draft stock keeps moving up every week.
We'll see.
Partially because out of these other quarterbacks are all over the board, but
I am really curious to see with Carson Beck, if he keeps playing well, where he ends up going.
It obviously helps the team keeps winning, right? He hasn't been great by any means, but he's been good enough.
But he has not been asked to do what Cam Ward had to do last year.
No.
Cam Ward had no defense, and he literally, he put up stupid passing numbers. He had to. Mm-hmm. We didn't even get a backup quarterback, never got a chance to play in the regular season because every game, no matter who you played, it came down to the late fourth quarter of every game. So Cam Ward put up monster numbers and had some unbelievable comebacks or came up just short in some other games. So, yeah, we'll see. But I am with you. Saturday night, man, I'm not making any plans in Charlotte and home of the ACC.
Oh, that's right.
And, be able to watch that.
Nice.
I'm sure they'll everybody
ACC
will be
in the heart of ACC country.
That's right,
there, yeah.
Right there, man. Isn't the championship game always in Charlotte still or no?
Yeah, I believe it's always in Charlotte. Yeah,
I think it's home of the Panthers.
Place where you're going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, always there. Nice. Always there. Nice. Anyway, hey, Woody,
hopefully we get to it this game this year. We'll know where it is.
All right, well, I'm going to calm down before we get to that talk. And I'm kind of like Coach, man, one game at a time. Like every coach.
You're one game at a time. You don't do big picture?
No.
Fair enough.
Hey, if they play well, they should win. If they don't get sloppy, they should win this game.
They are, I'm assuming you've seen every team in the ACC play. They are the best team in that conference.
I have not seen every team play.
I think I've seen, except for like some of the maybe really bad ones on the bottom, I've seen them all play. Miami is the best team in that conference. It's not even debatable.
Okay.
Now, winning the games is easier said than done. But they are, Joe, they might be the best team in the country.
But let me just say this. And that's your opinion. That's your opinion.
Well, that's a good thing. Like, that's what people discuss at this point, right?
Oregon's pretty good, right?
Yeah, they are.
Coach's former team.
Miami's got good wins, though, too.
Ohio State looks good. I don't know.
They beat Notre Dame, who I think is pretty good. Look, Notre Dame had that game with Texas A&M. Like, I dropped the snap on an extra point.
Now you're getting into individual reasons?
Yes.
Okay, so let me help you back. If you get sloppy and you're the Miami Hurricanes or almost anybody else and you turn it over three or four times in one of those games, you know what could happen.
Somewhere in South Florida, Don Bailey Jr. is nodding his head along with you about that turnover thing.
He's like,
Joe gets it.
No.
If we turn the ball over, we're going to lose. Joe gets it.
They got a good chance. And he'll have them ready to go. This group looks a lot more mature than the group they had a year ago. And so we'll see what happens, Wood. Can't wait for Saturday
night. I'm fired up for this one, though.
I know you are.
This will be good.
Everybody should be.
Pre-game show 3.
Okay, there you go.
Monroe.
Get yourself involved.
At least you like Monroe.
I do. Not big on you, but I do like Monroe.
Can you promote if Monroe's involved?
Monroe County all day, every day. No question about that one. Hey, I want to take a break here. Atlantic Men's Clinic. Boy, fellas, you're going through low T and ED, that combination. And by the way, while you're getting ready to, here he goes again. It happens to every guy out there, and some of you are listening right now are going through it. You are tired all the time, no energy, in a fog, not sleeping well, seem to be stressed out and have been called a grumpy old man by somebody in your family. It's all signs of low T. And if your energy level, you've noticed, especially by the time Friday rolls around, you're shot. You have a good old dose of low T there. And if you want to get rid of it, and usually ED follows, your sex drive is hit and miss, and then it's gone at some point. And when it happens, and it happened, it's a bad combination. But Atlantic Men's Clinic is going to take care of all of it for you, really, and fast. You know, I was going through it, and I kept hearing, I go, man, this is it. This sucks. I mean, it hit. And then I find out half the men in their 50s have ED. And low T. And I was like, oh, man, I had no idea. But if you want to get rid of it, you want to go to a first-class place that's really good, that does it the right way. They police your program. They give you a maintenance program. I mean, it's fantastic what they do. And this, hey, listen, this low T thing, as you probably know or don't know, if you're gaining 15 or 20 pounds, I got a good reason why. You're still eating the same amount of food, but you're not exercising and active as you used to be. And if you want to change things, you can with Atlantic Men's Clinic. You're in for great results. Set up that first appointment. Get the T, the PSA test. You meet with their professionals. They will put you on a plan to get you great results, and it happens fast. 7 locations in South Florida to serve you, including a brand new location in Hollywood. Call them today. The most important one is the first one to set up that appointment and get your butt down there. 877-455-7300. You are in for unbelievable results. As you get older, if it's still important to you to get the most out of life, go to AtlanticMensClinic.com and get more information today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That you know, sometimes, you know, it's something that happens to a lot of teams, and you have to be emotionally focused and, you know, find a way. And a lot of times with guys like that, you know, particularly this off season where Tyreek has invested so much in his teammates, you know, that you're inspired to, you know, to pick up the slack and make sure that they don't have the double somber moment of the injury, which you can't control, and then have to, you know, have it happen in a loss. You just try to do your best with what you can control, support your teammate, and try to get in the win column.
All right, that was Mike McDaniel yesterday talking about the reality of the fact that Tyreek Hill is out for the season. And now the conversation will be, what's it going to be like without Tyreek Hill? Everybody's got a little different spin on it. You know, now you can free up the ball and you don't have to worry about his 10 or 11 or 12 targets that he gets. And Jalen Waddle needs to be a number one receiver, finally going to get to be, you know, not the second fiddle, but be the man as a number one guy. And then everybody else, man, it's going to be a little bit about running back situation, a better run game. This new thing, we just found out that we didn't know how good Darren Waller was. Oh my gosh. And that, by the way, that is just seriously, you know, you go into a game and or a season and you hear about, you get a thing, you're kind of wondering how's it going to work out, and guy retires for a year and then he misses camp, and towards the end of camp, teams like, all right, when we get back from Detroit and Chicago, we're going to get Darren Waller, start to work him in, and it didn't happen. And he had some setbacks, which I think everybody knew. And then season comes around and we're going to get him now ready to go. And you're going, boy, that's a big jump. That's a big jump from kind of missing the last two camps. And now you're going to show up and play. And then that got moved back because of some hip problems. So you're like, hey, what's going on? And even Mike goes, I don't know if we're going to play him, or we got to look at maybe moving on. And you're like, oh boy, this is a weird one. And then all of a sudden, after three straight losses in game four, they say, hey, by the way, Darren Waller's going to play this week. We got some, we're going to work him in there, and we think he can help us in some red zone plays. And sure enough, the guy goes out and looked fast, looked quick, got separation. And the one thing you can't teach that he has, he's a long 6'6 athletic guy. And looks like, for a guy that's missed 631 days since his last NFL game, to go on and have two touchdowns. It is, I thought there was going to be a little rust. And when he went up to get that touchdown in the back of the end zone, I didn't see any rust. Got his feet down. I mean, he looked sharp. The way they used him, wide open on the second touchdown, just can really help. Really help. Now, obviously, you got to manage him throughout the year and try to keep him healthy for every game. But boy, I'll tell you what, just what a red zone weapon. What a red zone weapon. And, you know, we've been talking, and some of you have bring it up a lot more than I do. We got a bunch of short receivers for the most part, except one guy. And we just, you know, because of that, we can't throw a lot of those fade routes and have success. And now you had a guy that's a weapon in the middle of the field and doing different things that have people excited. Obviously, everybody else is going to have to step it up, though, and see. Now, the other great part of this is you had the Jets Monday night. You got Carolina in this game. And if you play well, you will win. You will win this game and be one game closer, be one game away from 500 after the slow start. Now, you need a lot of other things to go well. We know there's some problems on the other side of the ball that got to get fixed. The run defense is struggling. Kind of lost in that game where the Jets were bad at just about everything. They were able to run the football. 76 yards, I think, on the first drive. and ran for almost 200 yards in the game and went away from it and ended up, you know, losing the game. But in the turnovers, of course, three turnovers, which ended up being costly because the Dolphins turned a couple of them into touchdowns. So all that stuff comes in, and you got to, it's got to get better. And by the way, I want everybody to know, man, got to keep playing the kids. I'm not giving up. Excuse me. I'm not giving up on Jordan Phillips. I'm not giving up on Kenneth Grant. If Zeke Biggers needs to get in there and get some work too, along with Zach Sealer and Matthew Butler and Benito Jones, you got to get these guys ready. That's the situation you're in. And I think as long as they don't lose their confidence, we've had a lot of young guys through the years come in here that were taken in high picks that lost their confidence and couldn't play, lost it. We've had some pass rushers come in here, couldn't play, lost their confidence. But as long, and those guys don't look like it. They don't look like they have that kind of makeup. They have the Patrick Paul makeup, which is, I want to get better. You beat me, but you're not going to beat me again on that move now that I've seen it. You ask a lot of questions, and you go home at night and go, I'm going to be great. At some point, I'm going to be damn good. I'm not letting anything get me down. I'm going to get coached up. I'm going to listen. I'm going to watch tape, and I'm going to make sure I don't make the same mistake again. And then it can start getting better. But right now, it has hit rock bottom. It has hit some rock bottom numbers that need to get better. Love the coach. Love what, and we thought it was going to be one of the strengths of this team, so that makes it even more disappointing for everybody. I understand that, and that's where we are. We're going to have a lot more on the Miami Dolphins because we did have some good performances. I thought the starting veteran cornerbacks played really, really well on the outside. Even the catches they were able to make and some of the tackles they made, changing game-changing plays they made, and the coverage even on a great catch at the end of the game by their number one receiver, I mean, you can't cover it any better. You cannot cover that any better than I think it was Rasul Butler covered that one. Can't do any better than that. That was really good coverage. Rasul Butler. I was going to put him in a basketball. Rasul Douglas. All right, listen, we've got more stuff to get to here this morning as we continue on. First, though, I want to take a moment to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Man, it's a good time. It's a good time if you're looking for a new truck for whatever reason. First of all, you're just a truck person. That's all you drive. You and your family always enjoyed trucks. You use them. You get a lot out of them on the weekend. I get it. Your South Florida Chevy dealers got some great deals going on right now on what we like to call part of the best part of the family is the trucks. Durable Colorados with a standard Turbo Max engine and impressive torque. Anything you need for South Florida living, that truck, they've got one for you. Silverado 1500, ready, steady, and strong. From being a workday workhorse to a weekend warrior, we got you covered through your workday all the way to all the fun you have on the weekend. And then right over to a Silverado HD. Oh, my gosh. Legendary horsepower. One of the hardest working beds in the business. Hey, whether it's a midsize, full-size, or heavy-duty truck, Chevy pickups will never let you down. See your South Florida Chevy dealers today for outstanding offers going on right now. Not only great offers, but 14 dealerships throughout South Florida. Stop by, take a test drive, and fall in love and find a new truck at your South Florida Chevy dealers.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Woody, what do you have for us today?
All right, Joe, we had a record contract here in the NHL. Kirill Kaprizov just signed an NHL record $136 million extension. And that is the highest in NHL history in terms of total money and average annual value. At $17 million.
Yeah.
If that number sounds low to you, did a little research here at the headline desk. That would not put him in the top 100 of NBA players.
No.
He would be paid in between Keldon Johnson, who makes 17.5, and Grayson Allen, who makes 16.8. He would fall in between the two of those. Yeah. He'd be ranked number 101.
I got to tell you, man, basketball money, all the other sports go, look, we'd like to negotiate with you. Will you please not look at the NBA salaries, please?
Some of these contracts, I mean, these are horrible, man. Like, you look at some of these names that are on here, like, the numbers that are right around what this guy's going to make, like, Lou Dort makes more than him, Zach Collins, Andrew Nembhard, Zubats, Caruso.
Did you see what they said in the next 10 years?
Yeah, I know. It's going to be, yes.
The next 10 years, NBA players will have $100 million salaries per year. $100 million a year. They're going into 60s now, right?
Yeah, well, you know who the highest paid player is next year?
No.
This year, I guess I should say. The season starts soon. Steph Curry, 59.6 he's going to make.
Wow.
2026, he will make 63.
Wow.
By the way, you know who clocks in at number 8 on this list?
No.
Your old friend Jimmy Butler. He's going to make, Joe, $54 million this season, almost 57.
That's fine, as long as he doesn't have to be the man. If he can be the second or third fiddle, he's very happy. Okay. He's got joy.
Damian Lillard's on this thing at 9, by the way. Boy, they paid him a lot of money to go away.
Boy, can you imagine the thank you when he found out he can move back to Portland? He didn't finish it up with Portland, too.
You would think. I mean, it's
he's
set financially, I would think.
No, I think. Didn't he sign with him?
Yeah, he did. No, he did, but he is set financially regardless.
He was set before.
Yeah, the Bucks gave him a lot of money. They said, here, take it and go. Speaking of a lot of money,
hell
here,
of a
Joe.
Player, though. He was a hell of a player.
This is a really cool item that is coming up for sale here. I guess probably should be in a museum. Babe Ruth's true rookie card is going up to auction here, Joe, for the second time in less than 2 years. Babe Ruth's most valuable baseball card will hit the auction block.
That's got to be number one. That's got to be 7-8 million.
Yeah, 7 million is right. 1914 Baltimore News Babe Ruth. It is considered by many to be the true rookie card for Babe Ruth here. This is really cool. Two versions of the card were issued, one in red, one in blue. The one for sale at Heritage here is the red version. Just 10 copies have been graded. This one is graded an SGC-3. Only one is graded higher than that.
You know, it's amazing who in the hell kept these cards after all these years and kept them in good enough shape. Not only had them somewhere, but they were kept in good enough shape to get millions of dollars.
Yeah. That's such a cool thing, though. Like, again, I something like this should be in a museum. My opinion, but.
Gosh, crazy. You're right.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
If only you had the vision, Joe.
Oh, me?
You were a young boy in
tell my dad, I said, 1900s. Dad, you know, you're trying to find things to talk about with a 91-year-old dad when you go home. And I'm like, hey, Dad, you ever think about some of those cards you might have had as a kid? And why the hell did you get rid of mine? I'm no spring chicken either.
They must have had so many of those things floating around back then, too.
Crazy.
And here's another one for you, Joe. Once purchased for $10,000, Kobe Bryant's first number 24 jersey just sold for almost $900,000.
Where's all this Kobe stuff coming from? Like, it's amazing. And how often do we seem like we're getting something from Kobe or some of these other guys, and it's the first one?
Yeah, I don't know where all this stuff is. It's a great question. I guess, like, someone bought this one initially, and I guess they just hold on to it. It says Upper Deck it's Upper Deck Authenticated, which was in contract with Brian at the time, sold the first number 24 jersey for $10,875 on eBay within 2 weeks of the game.
Wow.
And these things, again, they've just, like, exploded in value. So who would have known? But
wow.
See if we had the vision. Only 11 grand.
Why do you tease me with these stories?
I know.
Why?
These people are lottery winners, though. I mean, essentially, right? Like,
yeah. Never thought, I mean, if you wanted somebody, you wore a guy's jersey or something, but nobody ever thought of getting it signed,
game use,
putting it away. And
yeah.
I don't remember anybody as a kid going, oh, I'm not playing with my cards. You're a dumbass here. Mine I'm keeping. Someday, this is going to be retirement money. Nobody ever said that.
Yeah, and Kobe's stuff would have obviously been worth a lot of money regardless, but
yeah.
I think him passing clearly, you know, ups the the rarity and value of his stuff.
But you remember there was a time, and I'm not bringing this up, but it's been a while. Kobe wasn't the most popular guy in the league with a lot of players. Went to private school and came overseas and came back here. And a lot of people weren't feeling Kobe for a long time. You remember those days?
I definitely remember those days, and I don't think Kobe would have done so well in this friendly league today. Because Kobe wanted to kill everyone.
No, he was closer to Michael Jordan, yes.
Yeah, he would not have been for this Disney-friendly league
makeup,
that we got right now.
His makeup was MJ, yes. Yeah. They wanted to beat your brains in.
I don't know that there's a comp to Kobe right now as far as guys that just go out and just want to destroy you and just take your soul. Like, Kobe just wanted it all, man.
Did you think MJ was at a different level, too?
MJ, too. Absolutely.
When I saw the way he practiced with his guys in those documentaries, I went, holy smokes.
Well, that's why Kobe is a good comp to MJ in personality wise, right? Like, their games were similar to some extent too.
I've lost track of who, like, you know, who was close with the LeBron and MJ and Kobe.
I know, but MJ and Kobe must have been close because MJ spoke at his thing at the arena there and was pretty choked up.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there's a player that, like, you could, who would be the comp as far as, like, right now in the NBA that's just like a, that just doesn't care. He's just a killer.
Mm. That's a tough one.
Draymond Green. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. Can't tell you.
Draymond Green just hurts people and doesn't care, but that's a little different, I guess.
Yeah. Put Draymond in there. Draymond, got a few Draymond kind of guys out there.
That's true.
Get kicked out of games and will, you know, apologize later. Justify what they do. Anyway, yeah. All right.
Really quick, one more for you here, Joe. The Simpsons movie will return for a sequel after 20 years since the original came out. I don't know if you care about this, but
no.
Simpsons are very popular. People like The Simpsons. I believe they're still running. I think they're still putting new episodes out there, so they've been very popular for a long time.
What are you watching on Netflix right now?
What am I watching on Netflix right now? I'm not watching anything on Netflix, to be honest.
You know, I did. I'm watching. It's been
a while. What are you watching?
I'm watching Narcos again.
Really?
Just finished up Colombia and the Cali cartel. Now we're back to Mexico.
I wish I had the time to.
I know. I'm in a different place you are, Woody. I'm in a different time. There's
you know what I've been watching? If I ever get any free time, I've been watching Bar Rescue. I like that show.
Okay.
You ever watch that?
Yes, it's a good show.
I do like that
show. I do like that show.
It's kind of mindless. And you know, I always watch that show and I always wonder why someone would buy a bar. It just looks so hard.
Yes. You and I be giving away drinks for free, working crazy hours. All the women in our life would leave us because, first of all, you put me in that environment, it would not be
a disaster. Yeah.
Honey, you're not, honey, where are you staying tonight?
The bar.
The bar. Bar life's not good to me.
I just, like, if you're going to open up a bar, like, wouldn't you show people that show?
You know,
like, just watch a few episodes of this and see how many families have been destroyed.
Woody, certain guys need to keep themselves out of certain environments. And I'm that guy.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest. I need to stay out of when guys are like going, hey, we're going to do this tonight. And I'm like, and occasionally it happens still, even at this age. And I go, nah, come on, man. I go, nah, I've had a few drinks. It's not, no. Well,
it's also because you've been banned.
It's just.
You don't make the rules.
I still got, baby demons. They're mostly gone now, but their children are still popping up on my shoulders occasionally. I don't want to be that guy, man.
I think you'd be a great bar owner, but. I'm sorry.
You know what?
I think you'd be a great bar owner because people would like you, but I don't think you'd be very profitable.
No, I give everything away.
Yeah. You'd be very generous.
I wasn't a very good role model to my children, so I'm trying with my grandchildren and hope I don't get bad mouth, so I got a shot with them.
That, well, why don't you open up the bar? You could pass it along to them.
By the way, it's just embarrassing I had to say that on the radio. I can't believe I just said it. Okay. Yeah. I like a lot of do-overs, but they're not going to happen, so I'll just live with the Catholic guilt. Hey, we got 8 o'clock hour coming up, and you know what that means. Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Fins podcast and A to Z Sports, going to join us, who helps us break down things, the good and the bad with the Miami Dolphins after their win and going forward. We'll talk to him about everything. And then on top of that, I want to talk to you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. I like talking about Michael. By the way, fixed rates in the fives. If you need to get a mortgage quickly and you're wondering about the rates, fixed rates in the fives, and Michael Kotze can get all the paperwork and get it done quickly for you, because he knows you need that mortgage, and this is what he does. And listen, nothing's going to make it special. If Michael Kotze can't get you the best rates and get your mortgage for you quickly, then he's just another guy out there, man. He's just another Joe Schmo, and that's not what Michael Kotze's all about. About getting it done for you, man. First-time home buyers, he's got great programs for you. Self-employed, been declined by the banks, he's got great programs for you. Matter of fact, man, he's got a great program for the seniors to convert your home equity into money going on. You're 62 or older and could really use that money that through the years paying your home off, and you're sitting there on a whole bunch of retirement money, and it's that time. Let Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage take care of you. Go to Google Reviews on the web. Choice Mortgage Reviews. A lot of people are saying a lot of nice things about this man who works 7 days a week. You know, it's about great service. And again, fixed rates in the five. So if it's time for you to make that move, call Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. The man has no life. He's always working 7 days a week. Call or text him, 561-441-2730, MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. 30 years of experience right here in South Florida, getting you that mortgage and the best rates in the business.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
why
it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.